I don't usually do this, but I'm going to set up this episode because the day after we recorded this episode, just a few days ago, the day after, literally, we were breaking down Cobra Kai trailers. We had three trailers available to us on that particular day. Me and Matt Wilkins broke those three trailers down. Literally hours later, after we had finished recording, they dropped this last trailer. And this trailer was also attached to the announcement of the date that the show on YouTube Red will be coming out. So it automatically wiped out about 30% of our podcast in terms of its relevancy in our predictions because it answered a lot of our questions for us. But I'm going to play this trailer as kind of set things up, and then we'll go back to the future or to the past to look at how we had called things before this last trailer came out. And I did call it. You'll see in this episode with Matt, I called that this show would be out sometime in the early summer, late spring. Called that right on the nose. It's a very Karate Kid thing to do, is to put it out during the summer. Here's the latest trailer.
Who is it?
Banzai! Daniel LaRusso here for LaRusso Auto. We are chopping prices on all of our inventory. Yeah. Johnny? I knew it was you.
This is Johnny Lawrence. He and I go way back.
Oh, this is the guy whose ass you kicked.
If you want to get technical, I kicked his face.
Hey, where you going, Cummins?
Oh, I didn't know you guys were trying to buy beer. I'm...
Hey! Watch your car, man.
Get the hell out of here, loser.
Was that like Taekwondo or something?
It's karate.
Do you think you could teach me?
I'm driving home from work yesterday, and in this strip mall, I see... After 30 years, I thought that guy might have changed, but he's still the same prick. I heard you beat up a bunch of teenagers.
I didn't beat up any teenagers. I kicked the crap out of a bunch of assholes who deserved it.
Thinks he could bring Cobra Kai back to the Valley?
Yeah.
Not on my watch.
You want those kids at school to keep dumping things on your head? You want all the girls to think you're a wangless dork?
You're gonna be my karate teacher?
No. I'm gonna be your sensei. I'm gonna teach you the style of karate that was taught to me. A method of fighting your pansy ass generation desperately needs.
Okay, let's see what you got.
She's a girl.
And?
I'm sorry.
Are you okay?
Girl's a natural cobra.
So this is going to be a fun show, this trailer. So some of the things that we had speculated on in this episode that's coming up that I'm about to play, some of the things we speculated on was whether this show would make Johnny from Cobra Kai more of a hero and Daniel more of the villain. I think what I'm seeing is I think it's going to be kind of even. I think they're both going to, there's going to be kind of a, we're going to see the gray area there with both characters, and we're going to see the dark and the light with both characters. But I think that they're both going to be equals in the show, and I think that they're both going to have their negatives and positives. So no, I don't think one specifically. I think we'll see more of a sympathetic view of Johnny, which I think will be interesting and exciting for people that have followed the Karate Kid story all the way through the years. Now, this was probably the most Cobra Kai Johnny-centric trailer that's been aired so far, with the rock music playing back in the game. It's kind of a throwback. This is a lot of fun. Anyway, this is episode number 65 that I'm about to roll out, where we broke down the first three trailers before the fourth trailer came out. And there's still some very, very good stuff that came out in this, thanks to Matt Wilkins for guest starring on this episode. Well, here it goes.
Coming up on Thunder Pop.
It is episode 65 of the Thunder Pop podcast. I'm Stephen Presley, and I could not be more thrilled to bring you back to the Thunder Pop Dome, our old friend, Matt Wilkins from the Expanded Universe YouTube channel.
Woohoo!
Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. So good. Thank you so much for having me on.
I love it. I love it. Thank you for coming on. Now, Matt usually is coming to us via Skype from his home in Louisiana, his home base. But today, our neighboring state of Louisiana, today he's actually coming to us as he's on a business trip. Do you mind I tell the audience where you're at?
Oh, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, so I thought maybe you were in California. You're actually in Phoenix.
I did say West Coast, but Phoenix doesn't change with the time zone. So they go from mountain when everyone falls back, and then when everyone they don't do fall back or spring forward here in Arizona.
No. Oh, really? They're smart.
The whole state
smarter,
does it.
They're smarter than us then.
Yeah, it is extremely smart. This is extremely smart of the state. So when everyone sprung forward, they remain the same. So now they're on West Coast time and enjoying some sunny Phoenix weather now for a change.
West Coast style.
Yeah. Phoenix, Arizona, put the heat up on you.
There ain't no party like a West Coast party.
That's
well, here's
because the West Coast party don't stop.
There you go. Exactly. You know, Florida, I just found out the other day, just voted to do away with the daylight savings time.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, this needs to catch on. I've got to have it in my state, too. I think it's such a detriment to our work week because I had trouble. I don't know about you, but all last week, I had trouble getting up early in the morning. I mean, I was dragging.
It takes a good week to week and a half to make the adjustment every time. It's a setback.
It's awful.
It's a setback and definitely not for the good. Yeah, I'm hoping it'll, because sometimes that's the way it starts. It starts with a couple of states and then it becomes a trend. It
snowballs from there.
It snowballs from there. So fingers crossed they adapt that here in Texas as well. In this episode, Matt Wilkins, the 65th episode of this podcast, we're going to do a follow up. Several months ago, Matt joined me after the announcement that Karate Kid, the original Karate Kid universe, was coming back, and it was coming back to nowhere to the one of the most random places you would have never expect, to YouTube. YouTube Red had picked up the Cobra Kai series that was announced. That is a sequel series to the original Karate Kid film series, taking place 30 years later after the original Karate Kid series had ended. It was very exciting. It was part of a two-parter. We did my 80s reboot fantasies come true. And that was the one of the two parts, a two-part episode we did. It was the first of the two-parter we did. And now trailers have come out. We're several months down the road. It's March now. They've been filming they started filming a little while ago, early winter, late fall. They might have started pre-production on this show. They've been filming, oddly enough, they've been filming the show in Georgia. Did you know about that?
I did not know it was Georgia.
Yeah, which, you know, a lot of film, TV work, production work has gone to Georgia in recent years, as it did for you. It was a lot of the work went to Louisiana for a while, and then Texas had its wave. But the work always goes where the tax free
the tax breaks are
the mm-hmm. tax breaks are, and in recent years, Georgia's been the place for the tax breaks.
Yep.
So they've been filming in Georgia, which I at first was kind of like, how is that going to work? Is it going to still feel like the same setting from the original? And are they going to film everything in Georgia, or are they just going to film like about, 80% of it, and maybe the stuff that's kind of key that still has to be filmed in Los Angeles is still going to be filmed in Los Angeles? That part I don't know. The trailers I've seen so far didn't really impact aesthetically to me the setting. It still felt like, the same universe.
Right.
So
yeah, will it feel like Southern California?
Yeah. Right? Will it be enough to feel like Southern California? Because in the original Karate Kid, there's a lot of stuff that's very Southern California. There's the beach. There's Venice. I believe that's in the original, and then I think in some of the others as well. There was always the scenes where they were in the mountains and on the water. So it'll be interesting to see if they can still capture that.
Yeah, if they can change a peach tree into a palm tree, because this is all about the New Jersey kid going to California, right? That's where they were in the original movie, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So for them to film this in Georgia, I will be very interested. I'm not saying that Georgia can't be California. Any state can, I guess, be turned into magically any state. They filmed The Battle for Los Angeles was filmed in Shreveport, Louisiana, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
It was the streets of Shreveport because it made it look like Los Angeles.
Well, and they sent a person out. I'm sure they do their research. They sent a location scout. If they know what they're doing, they sent a location scout out that tries to figure out if there's enough of a certain scene, a scenery, that they can pull off what they're trying to do.
That's
so
true.
So it'll be interesting. If one of your predictions comes true, I know it was one of the things on your original wish list for this show was that somehow Mr. Miyagi's house was inherited by Danielson. And if that happens, they would have to get that right.
They would. Yes. Anything from the old series, any set pieces, like the Cobra Kai, it looks like a similar building, just with new signs.
Yeah, and that's pretty easy, because those buildings, you know, they're a dime a dozen in an old downtown, street.
Right.
And so if they can get the shots of the place, they can change things around. They can take pictures from the original, and they can say, we might have to build a wall here.
And it's even conceivable that cities do change over time and look. So I would be very lenient if the city changed slightly.
Yeah. And of course, in Los Angeles, it's not unlike where I live in Austin. Things are getting teared down all the time, constantly, and rebuilding new like condos and new skyscrapers.
Yeah.
And so a lot of development in Los Angeles, too. So some of the things that looked like it did then is not, like you were saying, exactly what you're saying. It's not going to look, it may not look the same now. So actually, in some ways, it may help them get closer to what the original looked like by being in a different state, which is kind of odd, ironically.
It's so true. And there's a few things I think they're going to keep right and a few things they can change, and I'll be fine with it.
Yeah. Down the trailer. We're gonna look at, there's three trailers right now for the Cobra Kai series, and then we'll talk about those. I got a couple of thoughts, and I'm sure Matt does, about kind of overall impressions that have come from those trailers. That we have a lot more now to go on than we did when it was just all announcement on the internet that this was going to happen. Then it was an official announcement, and there was a press release. Now we've actually got footage of the show, so you can really start having fun and kind of dissecting things. So before I get into the first trailer, Matt, in a nutshell, have you been so far pleased with what you saw?
I have been extremely pleased. And even though, I'll be honest, the first trailer didn't show that much, but that was the one that showed nothing, right?
Yeah.
Until the end.
Kind of a teaser.
You saw,
it was the teaser.
The teaser, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And yet still, I was excited.
Let's go ahead and start that one here. I got this. I think this is the one here. It's a minute long. It starts with a bird's eye shot. Now, this is the kind of thing that they can still do and cut in. This is obviously an overview shot of Los Angeles from the mountains. That's something that they can cut into. So
right.
Okay. Let's take a look at this. Cobra Kai Trailer 1.
I just don't know why you'd ever want to bring back Cobra Kai.
You're not trained to be merciful here. Mercy is for the weak. You may know the move.
There's a shot of what is clearly Danielson, I believe, on that mountaintop or cliff. And they're going through doing practice.
They're kata.
Yeah. And I don't know who he's with there. Do you have any hunches who he's with?
Now, I heard isn't his daughter in this?
Yeah, that's supposedly at least one kid, daughter, is going to be in this. You think it could be his daughter?
Could be someone else he was training.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I've read there's a possibility Danielson trains Johnny's son in this.
Oh, wow. Wow. There's a lot of little twists they could do with this.
Yeah. Now, one thing I do hope, because this was the thing, and you mentioned this when we talked about this last time. I mean, when they left off with Johnny and Danielson, they were on pretty good terms. They had made their peace.
Right.
And Johnny congratulated him and
you know, gave him the trophy.
And
the opening scene of 2, Miss Miyagi and, you know, well, Daniel, not really, but Miss Miyagi helps out Johnny.
Yeah.
While he's getting beat up by the sensei.
Yes.
So Johnny should be looking at, I always imagine, and what we kind of get the feeling is, Johnny and Daniel are on both, on the same good terms by
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Because Johnny was a good, although he was the bad guy at the end, he said, you deserve it, LaRusso. You know, you're all right, LaRusso. That's what he said. You're all right.
Mm-hmm.
And gave him the trophy. Now, it showed a little bit of dignity about this leader of the Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
He wasn't that bad of a kid. He knew he was in the wrong when his sensei said sweep the leg. That's not how he wanted to win. So he tipped his hat, and that made him not as bad. And then of course the sequel kind of gave him his own little finish, which was actually originally stopped for the original movie. They just used it for the sequel, but that scene there told me, okay, so that story has ended. There is no rivalry. But obviously something has happened.
Yeah, and you know, there can be, and what I'm hoping, there can be a friendly rivalry here. It doesn't necessarily mean that one's going to be a bad guy and one's going to be the good guy, one's going to be evil and one's going to be black and white. You know, this can be a friendly rivalry and still be a lot of fun and still drive the show's story along.
Now, I have a theory of maybe how this rivalry got started again.
Uh-huh, yeah. Interesting.
I think that they can't bring back Elizabeth Shue, even though I'd love to see Elizabeth Shue again.
Why can't? I don't think they are, but why couldn't they?
Well, I don't think they would. I just don't think that. I think this is someone they wouldn't save as a surprise. If they're going to surprise us with anyone, it's going to be the old sensei.
I
think he would make a good reason to be a reveal. If Elizabeth Shue was going to be in this, they definitely put. She's still a decent name, and people from the original series would love to see Elizabeth Shue in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she's doing now, but I just don't think that's a possibility because I think they would have revealed that.
Now she's still acting. She is still acting.
She's very active.
Yeah,
but
she was recently in a television drama series. I know doing courtroom show.
And she's busy working that. But if they had her for this series, I think we would have seen her in one of the trailers.
Yeah. Now, if possible later on, because these are going to be 10-episode seasons, if this show goes on and gets picked up for a second, third season, which I hope it does. I hope they have that kind of success. They're going to have each episode, from what I understand, are going to be around 30 minutes long, which I think is a good length for this show. So it's a possibility, especially if the show goes into a second season, that she could be brought in as a guest star at some point.
She could be, but if they had wanted to reveal the rivalry, what if it was that Daniel actually went back, got back with her, and she had died indirectly as something he did? You know, like maybe he was off on a tour and a robber broke into the house and murdered her.
Oh.
And Johnny's like, you know what? you should have been there. You weren't there for her, and she died. It wasn't his fault. He didn't know someone was going to come in and murder his wife. You know, and you need to let that sleeping dog lie. Maybe something. There's obviously some tension there.
That's interesting.
I just want to know what started it.
That's
how they're going to explain it.
Yeah, and of course, in the one trailer we'll get to, there's some stuff going on there too as well. But here's more from trailer
one.
Go
right ahead.
But none of that matters unless you have balance.
Are you ready to learn the way of the fist?
Yes, Sensei!
Johnny, you and I, this, we aren't done.
Of course, the real strong close there is when they both walk up to each other on the mat, and he's like, Johnny, we ain't done.
It's great. Now, I think we're going to see a fight, but I think Johnny's going to win.
I thought about that. Now, we'll see in one of these other trailers that's coming up, because what I understand is Danielson is going to be, has been successful. He's had a good adult life. He's been successful. He's married. He has a child. He's doing well in the business world. Johnny
looks successful.
Successful. Johnny, apparently down and out, not doing so well when we pick up in the story. And so there's that. And then we see the shot in that one trailer where they're at the car dealership. And then there's kind of the joke that's made where the guy says, "Is this the guy you kicked his ass?" And then Danielson, like, well, actually, it was his face. So there, yeah. I actually felt kind of sympathy for Johnny.
You actually do, in a way. So you think they're going to flip this and make Johnny kind of the good guy and Daniel kind of hoity-toity?
Well, I don't think they'll take... I mean, there's...
Won't take it that extreme?
No, I don't think they want to take away from his... You know, he has a... There's a mythology there of him being a hero from The Karate Kid. You know, he's a hero. And I don't think they want to diminish that. I think what they're going to try to do is... It's more like, you know, when you had a rivalry between Batman and Superman.
Right.
But ultimately, they work it out.
Right.
And you rooted for both of them because they both had motivation for being mad at the other. There's a reason why one didn't trust the other and vice versa. You know, Batman had his baggage. Superman has his responsibilities. So I think it's kind of like that. I think they're going to be kind of put more on an even playing field. I think they're co-stars. I think they're going to try to show some gray area with both characters.
That would be interesting to explore. I agree with that.
Yeah, because Danielson, even in the original, you know, trilogy, I mean, he had his, you know, when we got to Karate Kid 3, he definitely started to show his gray area, his gray side, gray area a little bit.
So, no, that's true.
He's
that's
a flawed character for sure.
That's true. I just want to know who the mother of his child is.
Yeah, and there's
I hope it's not a no name. That's the only thing. I hope they don't say, "Yeah, he just married someone else later on."
Well, and they show him talking to a woman that appears to be his wife. We don't see it clear. Look at her face, which is I know is intentional.
Okay, so you picture that as his wife. I didn't.
Oh, really? So that
I just picture that as just a regular person. But that's interesting, though, because it could have been his wife.
That's interesting. Well, let's take a look. Trailer 2. Let's see what comes up with that.
I'm going to teach you the style of karate that was taught to me.
The trailer starts with Johnny doing a handshake with this kid who obviously is being recruited to be one of his students at the Cobra Kai. The kid kind of looks like a young Danielson, which is kind of interesting. I mean, I'm sure that was done on purpose. I think they went and cast a kid that kind of looked like a young Danielson to kind of make it kind of interesting that he was, you know, recruiting a kid that looks sort of like Danielson. Reminds us of Danielson. This is a great shot. This may be my favorite shot of all the trailers, is the one kid standing and looking up at the Cobra Kai sign, kind of in awe of the whole thing.
Lovely.
Isn't that cool?
Now, my favorite line in all these trailers, and I can't remember which one it was. You have to remind me here. It was the one where he's washing the windows. He said,
"Oh, gosh.
Is there any way you want me to wash these?"
Yes.
He said, "I don't give a," and that's what I was like, "Oh, that's awesome. I love it."
That one thing there, was all I needed to be reassured that, hey, this show, it's going to be all right.
I'm telling you, YouTube, Red, they're not even on the map for me. I couldn't tell you one show that they have right now.
Just your show. That's all I know. Matt Wilkins, Expanded Universe.
Oh, I'm not YouTube Red. They pay those people.
Yeah, you'd be getting some cash. You'd be getting some serious money.
Oh, you get serious money to be on YouTube Red. But the thing is, though, YouTube Red looks boring to me. There's nothing. I don't really have a single show on YouTube Red. However,
no, same here.
This show, what a bold move, and what a great move, because I'm more excited about this than Stranger Things, and I love Stranger Things. But Cobra Kai just interests me so much because, like you said, this is something from our childhood. It seems to be they're doing it right, meaning that this is not a soft reboot. This is not intended to be, what's it called? Beside reboot, they give it something else now, where they kind of refresh the series. They kind of get new faces and everything. They're bringing back the old faces. They're bringing back the old storyline. That is obvious. I'm not saying it's not going to focus on younger characters. I think it will. But they're going to keep the focus on Daniel and Johnny, and they should.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, that's so rare today in a time where we have to reboot or reimagine. That's probably the word. Reimagine the series or something. Mm-hmm. We don't need reboots now. We just need, give us the old. There's nothing wrong with the old story and dust it off because there's a ton of people. We are the consumers now with the big money, you know.
I totally
agree. We're the
agree.
Parents who spend
totally
the big
agree.
Money.
It's one
and
of the biggest.
And nostalgia sales. Nostalgia sells so much now. Nostalgia sells in toys and video games. And they just re-released one of my favorite computer games, Age of Empires. I played that game all the friggin' time as a kid on my computer. And they re-released it. You know I bought it, and it came in a digital download. I've never done this thing before. They just downloaded it straight into my laptop, and I could play it when it was released. I was like, wait a minute, what? I pre-ordered it, and I had to play it when it was released. And I thought that was so wild. But it sells. That kind of stuff sells. People are interested in that kind of stuff. You do something like this, a TV show that connects to the movies. And it doesn't have to connect to all of them. In fact, as I told you before, the next Karate Kid does not exist in my timeline.
It's the same universe. Same universe.
I know. It is same universe. It is. It is part of the Karate Kid canon.
Exactly.
But thankfully, Hilary Swank is way too big to be joining that cast, and I wouldn't want to see her either. But I've got to be honest. This is one of the trailers, the stuff they've done. I like it. They're not shying away from it. They're not trying to pretend it's something new to fool the new kids. No, it is all out. Folks, this is retro 80s. This is for you, the fans. And I really like that. And hopefully it feels that way. I agree with you that there should be, I think we talked about this on the last podcast, there should be comedy in it. Should be a straight-out comedy? I don't know. I don't know what they're going for. I kind of hope it kind of stays in line with the movies. The movies were fun, lighthearted. You know, they did have some comedy, but they had some serious moments too.
Yeah.
And like, I wanted to visit Miyagi's grave. I want him to hear Miyagi's voice from the old movies, and maybe even some flashbacks where Daniel's a little bit, you know, he's in mourning too over his sensei. I hope they show that.
And that's one thing. That's one thing we don't know is how long ago in the timeline did Mr. Miyagi pass away? We know he passed away, but in this timeline, how long ago would it have been? We don't know that yet.
Yeah. You know, I think they'll do it justice though, because both of these actors, that's really all they're known for. And so I think they both will take this with seriousness. And they're going to bring in their acting chops, man. And I think they still got it. It looked good from the TV, from the trailers we've seen. It did. YouTube Red has done its job by bringing great interest. And whenever I see a new trailer, I'm not the guy. I haven't even seen the new Avengers trailer. Okay, I don't care about it. But whenever I hear that there's a new Cobra Kai trailer, I have to watch it. I'm not a trailers guy. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
And I still want to watch it because I want to see what's next. Mm-hmm. And that should speak something to everyone out there, that if you're not, some people just don't watch trailer. I don't keep up with the latest trailer, but if it's something I really care about, I'm really interested, because it seems like they're respecting the viewers.
Yeah.
And you know, the fans of the show, and of course, as you know, we're not getting into it, but Star Wars, I'm a big supporter of the Expanded Universe, and wish that Lucasfilm showed the same respect for their old EU fans as YouTube Red is doing for their Karate Kid series. Because I think anyone who loved those movies is probably just as excited as me, if not more, for Cobra Kai.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and this is the year for sequel series. Roseanne's coming back in just a matter of a few days. I believe.
Did you watch that back in the day?
I watched Roseanne. Yes, I watched it at least for the first four or five seasons when it was really good.
Right.
But then I know it started it on to diminish.
And off. I wasn't. It came in the evenings, and we didn't really watch TV at night. We weren't a gather around the television family. But I'd seen a few episodes here and there. I mean, it's nice. It seems like they're keeping with the same family dynamics, which should be nice.
Yeah, they haven't altered too much. They've kept it kind of, like you said, the similar kind of dynamics.
Yeah, that's great. I hope stuff that does that. I think just briefly talking about other revamped TV shows, I think X-Files, who I was a big fan of back in the day, mm-hmm. is having one of its finest seasons ever this year. And I never thought I would have said that season 12 of the long defunct X-Files series is one of the best series right now. But I do agree with that. And I love how they're it's fan service. They're keeping the same, you know, it makes no sense why Mulder and Scully are at the same level of employment with the FBI for over 20 years. Now, they explain it that Mulder's kind of been blacklisted, which is why he's been tugged down and Scully went with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that, but still, 20 years and you didn't get a promotion? Yikes.
Yeah.
You know, what's that? But you know what? It doesn't matter because they wanted to give us good old Mulder and Scully, and you can't. That's why Captain Kirk reminded Captain, you know, he had to be ranked back down to Captain because an Admiral can't go on all these adventures in the movies.
They had to figure out a way.
We have to make an Admiral, but now we have to bring him back to Captain because Admirals can't have this much fun.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing they got with Star Trek, too. When they brought back Star Trek, because Star Trek was a reboot sequel series from a TV series, but it was the flip-flop of what they're doing with Karate Kid. It was an old TV show turned into a movie series, where with the Karate Kid, they're turning an old movie series into a TV show. Which is kind of the interesting kind of reversal of what happened with Star Trek. But then the Star Trek movie series was bigger even than the show was in its original run. And of course the show didn't really take off until it went into reruns and became, you know, went into syndication. And then that's when it became a massive, massive phenomenon. But one thing that
Hold on a sec. We could be seeing something very unique here. Not talking about a movie series that went to TV. I'm talking about a movie series that went to TV and kept its stars. This is one of the first times they did it. They kept one. The Tremors had a TV show, only lasted for one season, and it kept its star.
Yeah.
But besides that, we're talking like main stars. He was a supporting character who came back for the TV series.
Right.
And this is the first time we've ever seen something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? Am I right in thinking that? That's a great analogy.
I believe so. I would have to confirm that. But I'm pretty sure that's the case. But here's what's interesting. Star Trek got something right. You were talking about how they brought back the original cast. They kept what was good about Star Trek, and then they even built off of that and made it even bigger and better. Because the movies were better than the good movies, like Wrath of Khan, that was better than the TV show.
Fantastic.
It was. It was just a great sci-fi movie. One of the greatest sci-fi movies ever made, the original Wrath of Khan. But here's the thing. And they had some misfires. They redeemed themselves, and they had some other good movies in that Star Trek series. But one of the things they got right was they gave the fans what they wanted. They realized that Captain Kirk had to be Captain Kirk to be able to go out and do all these adventures, like you were saying. And that's something that Star Wars didn't completely get when they came back with this new movie series. And I know you're not a fan. You don't follow the cinema universe anymore since they broke from the original expanded universe. But which is understandable. But one of the things they didn't get right was, I think one of the problems with Last Jedi, it would have been enough. They did a lot of gimmicks in The Last Jedi. They had tried to do a lot of surprises and things to kind of surprise the audience, which is great. But they almost made two movies in one because there's parts of that film that don't match with the other. Okay. So it was almost like they were trying to take on too much and they had too many gimmicks going on. There are pieces of it that are very entertaining on a high level. And then there are pieces of it where just like, can we get through this and get to another scene? But here's the thing.
Right.
The one thing that would have been the simplest thing if you just gave the audience Luke Skywalker the way in his full glory, and not just in the way they did it, which was kind of clunky, that would have been enough. That's all we needed. That's all Star Wars fans needed, was Mark Hamill back as Luke Skywalker. They didn't need all these gimmicks. They could have kept it simple. That would have been enough, just to having Luke Skywalker back. But that's the thing. That's the thing that Star Trek got. Star Trek got, bring us back Spock, bring us back Kirk, bring us back McCoy, in the way that we like them, playing off of each other.
And you think about this: why is Wrath of Khan everyone's favorite? You ask any Star Trek fan. Even the most hard, I spoke to one of the most hardcore Star Trek fans. He's written books about the series.
Yeah.
really good guy. And I said, what is your favorite Star Trek film? He said, my answer is any movie I'm watching right now. I said, okay, funny, haha. But you had to pick one. He said, well, I feel it has to be Wrath of Khan, though there were other movies. He didn't want to go with the flow and say Wrath of Khan. But do you know why Wrath of Khan is so loved? Wrath of Khan pays the most fan service than any other movie out there, because it's based off of an episode called The Space Seed from the original series.
I've read that before, yeah.
Yeah, and what they did is before they were going to make the second movie, a guy sat down, the director, a writer sat down, he watched all the episodes, and he said the one episode that stuck out to him was The Space Seed. He went, huh, that would be interesting. What would happen to that character 20 years later down the road? And so he wrote this story. It is phenomenal, because Star Trek fans who watch the series got to see an episode get, you know, an ending, or, you know, an update, like, where are we now? Because the show ended. But the episode ended, you know, with no questions. But then they put a new twist on it. And then it became this Moby Dick in space saga, you know, epic saga that was just fantastic. And fans ate it up because it had a beginning. You didn't have to introduce who Khan was, because the fans already knew.
They knew. Yeah.
He's just older, and he's alive. That's the big reveal. That movie is so good because it was the ultimate fan service to take an original TV show, because now movies from TV shows like to ignore the TV show. Highlander, great TV show. The movies after the TV show, the movies from the TV series were absolute garbage.
Yeah.
Because they tried to redo everything. You could tell the people who wrote those never watched the series. They just got the synopsis and wrote their own storyline. It was awful. And people do that all the time. But Wrath of Khan, or they just ignore it. You know, like the other five movies did. They just kind of ignored the original series. Not to say they didn't ignore Bonespot. They were all there. But they never talked about any of their previous adventures, because these are the movies. You don't want someone new to walk into the theater and go, oh, I got to watch all these episodes to understand this. But you know what? Wrath of Khan, best-selling one, their highest ranked one, and yet you didn't have to watch The Space Seed, but if you did, you appreciated it even more.
Yeah, and you could watch Space Seed and then immediately after go straight to Wrath of Khan, and it's the perfect way to watch the two, is to watch them back to back.
I actually did that this past year. My movie theater they reshow old movies every month, and that month happened to be Wrath of Khan. And I told my wife, okay, she'd never seen Star Trek. I said, watch The Space Seed with me. She did. Then we watched Wrath of Khan. She went, that's the same actor? I said, that's the same actor playing Khan. She went, wow. And so she was really impressed. She actually enjoyed it. Now, did she agree to watch the rest of the show with me? Because I went home. Now I'm watching Star Trek again because of it. And she's like, no thanks. But she'll watch an episode every once in a while and enjoy it. But the thing is, though, that they did that. No other Star Trek movie, even in The Next Generation, ever did. Well, Generations kind of harken back to a few things from the show.
Yeah.
But didn't pick up from an actual episode, which they could have. So, which I think would have been huge with fans. So I'm very confused why why production companies and Hollywood studios are just, they don't see this. Cobra Kai is doing something that I think is the right way to do things for the fans. I hope this is successful, not just because I love the Karate Kid, but just what they're doing, how they're doing this.
Yeah.
They're making this for fans. They're not hoping to get teeny boppers or millennials in, but you know what? Millennials are more than welcome to watch, but this is for the fans, and I really appreciate that. I have a lot of respect for YouTube Red, because they could have, you know, just butchered this, gotten the rights to it, and just butchered it.
Absolutely.
It could have been starring a kid who's a protege of Daniel, but we're only going to focus on him. One of the reasons the Creed movies will never be as good as any Rocky movie is because it's not starring Rocky. It's starring Apollo Creed's son. And I loved Creed. I thought it was a good movie. But you know what? I'd rather watch Rocky V than Creed again, because it's to me, these boxing movies are still about Rocky. He's the best thing about these movies.
Well, and you know, that's one I'll disagree with you on. I mean, I think that Rocky Balboa, which was Rocky VI, is often, you know, forgotten about when people talk about how great Creed was. Well, Rocky Balboa was a pretty damn good movie too.
Hold on. I was just saying Rocky V because that was the weakest one of the series.
Right.
Rocky Balboa is my favorite. I love it better than the original Rocky.
It's brilliant.
It is my
number one. It's absolutely brilliant.
I agree with you 100%. Now, Creed has one of my favorite Rocky scenes where he is in the locker room telling Creed he's in the future and Rocky belongs, and he points behind his back, I belong in the past. Like saying, all my friends are dead.
Yeah.
I belong with them. You belong in the future. That's one of the most heart-pulling, string-tugging, you know, heart-string-tugging scripts I've ever heard quoted by Rocky. Yeah. I loved it. Loved every moment of it. But I agree. Rocky Balboa is by far the best one. Nothing makes you feel bad for Rocky worse than Rocky Balboa, because he start off, you know, his wife's dead.
Yeah.
You know, everyone he knows is, you know, dying. They bring his son back, which is great. I love that.
Yeah.
That they kept the son. They didn't ignore the son storyline.
Yeah. There's I hate when they do that. I hate when they just forget something happened or someone existed.
Well, they don't know how to end it, so they just write it off, and hopefully you won't care about it.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad they did that.
Yeah, I understand they didn't bring the son back in Creed because it's not about Rocky; it's about Creed now.
Right.
I get that. And again, Creed's a fine movie, but if I had to rank all the Rocky movies, Creed would be at the bottom because it's not focusing on Rocky, who I love.
Right.
This is focusing on old characters. It's not. It'll have new characters. And it will focus on new characters, but it won't. They won't be the central stars.
Right.
Of the show, and I'm happy because of that.
Yeah, and when I wasn't a big fan of 90210, but when they did the sequel series to 90210, they did it the other way, the way that you're talking about, how they kind of made the original cast sort of secondary, cameos, small parts, and then they had this new young generation as kind of the main focus of the show. And I don't think the show was as successful as it would have been if they had done it the other way.
It can't, because who made the show successful? Their portrayals of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a reason why that going back to these Star Wars movies, they're just throwing in guest star appearances by Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Carrie Fisher, and they're trying to shift the focus of these new casts. What they should have done is taken the originals out completely and focus on the new cast, because when you're comparing the old and the new, these guys are iconic, and you're putting them like this is modern day wrestling versus 80s style wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
If you bring Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Randy Savage, Roddy Piper in the ring, people are going to be watching them more. They're going to be watching the Roman Reigns or the whoever, you know, who's in there, because they're not as thrilling as they didn't build. You know, Star Wars characters built that house, man. Luke Skywalker, Han Solo. That's why you want them in there, to bring them in. But why do people hate some of the new characters? Because they're not them. You're trying to compare the old with the new.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I never saw 90210 either, but I bet when people saw the old characters, like, oh, there they are. Oh, they're gone now. Because that's how, watching Creed, I was like, oh, there's Rocky. He's not in this scene. Okay, I'm bored. Now that I'm saying Creed's a bad actor, he probably is a very good actor. The thing is, though, I was not interested in him because that's not the character I've been following for my whole life.
Now, you know we're going to get Creed 2, and it starts filming this spring. And you know who's coming back for Creed 2, though? Ivan Drago.
Oh, Dolph Lundgren. Yes. I am absolutely loving that.
Now, Ivan Drago's son is going to fight Adonis Creed.
I cannot wait, because Lundgren is still in good shape, as we saw in The Expendables.
Yeah. It's amazing. He looks amazing.
You can still have him as a menacing character. He'll play a great bad guy. Dolph Lundgren, I have a lot of respect for. As an actor, subpar. But this man supposedly is a genius, right? He has a high
I've
IQ.
Heard this. Yeah, and he was a real actual athlete, like professional athlete that competed in professional sports.
And a high IQ. So the guy can't be all that bad. And he seems like a good, nice, nice guy. So, and that four is usually looked at as the cheesy. I mean, four dates itself with the 80s-esque robot.
Oh, gosh. And that movie is fantastic.
But I think it's well, today, you know, see, millennials aren't going to enjoy that one as well. But the thing is, I still love that. I remember watching that for the first time and thinking, the Russian's going to murder Balboa. And it's funny, this is the reason why these Rocky movies are so good, because they have the next, you know, when he beats Apollo Creed, you're thinking, there's no way, Apollo Creed's the best. And then the sequel, the rematch, you're thinking, oh man, can he beat the best again? Well, they couldn't do Apollo Creed a third time because fans knew Rocky right. can take him. So they put in Mr. T's character, I can't remember his name now.
Clubber Lane.
Oh, you are awesome. Anyway, Clubber Lane, man. And you think Clubber Lane's going to beat the tar out of him because Clubber Lane's the best. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Clubber Lane does at the very beginning. But anyway, yeah. You think Dolph Lundgren's character, Ivan Draco, is going to take him out because he looks menacing. They did a great job throwing up menacing characters. Tommy Gunn's a punk kid, so five really doesn't count because it never happened in the ring, but that he wasn't dangerous. But, you know, overall, Mason Dixon from such a beautiful movie, too. It's beautifully shot. As well, I'm thinking about that fight right there, and it's just so good. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they get these villains, I should say, antagonist is what the real word is.
Yeah, they antagonist. Had that in the Rocky V. Even in Rocky V, they had that guy that was a like very Don King kind of esque
yes.
manipulator that took Tommy Gunn away from Rocky. He was well done. His character was well done.
No, it's and to be honest, that is the storyline for Creed. Just done over again and
yeah,
switched.
It really is. It's only this time it switches where he doesn't turn on him.
Yeah, he doesn't turn on him, and it's Apollo Creed's son. That's really the only difference. But yeah. They're just trying to make a better Rocky V, mm-hmm. which I hated Rocky V until I rewatched the series again right before Creed came out.
Right.
And I thought, okay, this isn't as bad. You know, and again, I like Creed, but my focus is on Rocky, and Rocky's not in that one as much. So I don't like it as much because of that.
You know what would have made Rocky V better for me? One of the small, like a slight adjustment they could have changed. Well, actually, it's a big adjustment. If they had taken and then made that a real fight in the ring instead of the street fight, I think that, like, if they had actually decided to actually fight.
And I agree with that, but I found watching it again, I agreed with that with you. In fact, if I hadn't rewatched it, I would agree with you 100%. I see where they were going with this, even though I think it was bad. I think he should have been in the ring. I agree. But remember, they started off with the storyline of if he does one more fight, he's going to die. So they had to stick to that story and not put him in the ring again because right. there's no way Rocky, especially after when his wife is already pissed at him
right.
for doing this for so many years, there's no way Rocky makes Adrienne unhappy or, you know, crosses Adrienne. Adrienne would never want him to go back in the ring. And Rocky, being the guy he is, he would never go back to the ring. So I understand why they had to do a street fight. I totally agree with you. It was a total letdown when I saw it. But then looking at how they built that movie, I was like, okay, this was the way they directed the storyline. You could not bring him back.
Yeah.
Now, why has he jumped back in Rocky Balboa? Because Adrienne is already gone, and you find out later on, especially in Creed, Rocky's fine with leaving this world right now, which is a sad perspective to have.
Right.
But that's probably, you look back at Rocky Balboa, and that's why he did it. Not just to prove himself, not just to show his son he still had it.
Right.
But it was like, you know what, Adrienne's gone. I'm really sad. I'm really depressed. It's just me now. I want to, if I die, I die. But, you know, it's been years since I got that doctor's thing. I may be healed by now. He knew he was putting his life in his hands and going to get Mason Dixon, but he still did it. I love that. I don't think it's a contradiction to Rocky V or an insult to, you know, the Rocky V storyline, saying if he does one more fight, he'll die. Because over time, who knows, things can heal again. But yeah. even major concussions in boxing. But anyway.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Don't tell the NFL that.
Yeah, for real, right? Well, no, the NFL agrees with me. Concussions don't do anything. Yeah. When you get free candy when you get concussions.
Yeah, that seems to be kind of the mentality for a long time. You know, here's more from Cobra Kai Trailer 2.
It does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, sensei.
Strike hard.
It does not exist in this dojo, does it?
Hey, sensei, is there any particular way you want me to wash these windows?
No, I don't give a shit.
Now, that's the one that closes with that great line. No, I don't give a... Hey, sensei, is there any way, particular way you want me to clean this window? And it's like, I don't give a...
I really love that line.
That's brilliant.
That's the kind of humor I can deal with.
Yes, that's good. So that's the kind of stuff we kind of were hoping for, is some references to the original show and some of the iconic references, quotes from the show, and then taken and kind of twisted and turned for the sake of comedy. That was brilliant. That line, that to me, that was like, this show, I'm ready for this show.
And I hope I hope it's successful. Again, I hope it's successful, but I also hope it's successful because I hope more people start doing this, dusting off. And you're saying, well, when is enough enough, Matt? Would you go back and see another Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Yes, I would. I would see how old is he now? 50, 60-year-old Matthew Broderick. I would see him taking a day off work right before his retirement, taking some time off, and going to pick Cameron out. Did you hear about this? John Hughes had an idea for Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I remember reading that before, for a sequel.
He told them, if I did this, I would want it way in the future, where Ferris Bueller takes a day off work and goes to get Cameron, who is 60. He's in an old folks' home because he figures his life is over at 60. So Ferris takes him out for one last time, and at the end, Cameron dies of a heart, but dies having a great day.
Wow. So how many years down the road would this have been? Would this have had to be?
No, right now, around now.
Around now. But John
around
Hughes...
Around now, I think. Wait. It would have been, I don't think Cameron was 60. I think Cameron was 40. I think Cameron would have been in his 40s back then. I think it was an older... Like, I think they would have been both in their 40s, so it would have happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah, because they're now, I think, Matthew Broderick probably in his 50s, early 50s.
Yeah, but they could still do the same storyline. But the joke was that Cameron believes he's too old, and he checks into a old folks' home. I was like, that's funny. And Ferris breaks him out of the old folks' home.
That's a great idea. I love that idea.
Go around having a great day. I would see that. Now, that wouldn't be a good TV show. That'd be a better movie.
That's a movie. Yeah,
I'm just saying, what other old TV shows, have you thought about this? What other TV movies do you think could be turned into?
Well, I always wanted them to do, I always wanted to see Class Reunion from The Breakfast Club, and them doing a Class Reunion with those characters coming back to, now I think it's probably been too long, and they've waited too long to do that, possibly.
Right.
But if they'd done like the 30-year reunion, 30 years later, I wanted to see those characters kind of in their late 30s, early 40s, coming back together. And then if they had somehow ended up back in the library, at their leaving the class reunion to spend time with each other in the library again, and kind of a recreation of that night where they hang out with each other. For maybe they get locked in the school. Maybe they go there for the class reunion. They all wander into the library and run into each other again. They all, each individually on their own, have the motivation to go back to the library and reminisce back to the time from the Breakfast Club. And then they get locked in the school because their class reunion ends. They lose track of time. They're locked in the school for the night.
That's really neat. That's a neat idea.
Now, this is sort of a thing where they all have now getting caught up in where they've been and what's happened in their lives and who they ended up marrying and who they ended up not marrying or divorcing and who's had a good life and who's had a miserable life, and then kind of seeing where that can go in a night locked in the school 30 years later.
Insightful.
30 years later. That's a sequel I would have loved to have seen. I don't know if we'll get, I mean, well, we won't, I don't think we'll get that now. If we were going to get that, we would have already gotten that.
Right. If I could see them revamp something, and hopefully this makes like gangbusters, because the TV series I would love to see is The Last Starfighter.
I've always thought that too. I totally agree. Yeah.
He now has a son, the Armada's invading, and they're moving on. Or maybe his son's been living on Earth this whole time and doesn't know who his dad is. His dad left him on Earth to protect him from assassinations. And he doesn't know his heritage, and he finds out his heritage on Earth through a new Xbox video game or something like that called The Last Starfighter. And when he is successful, they know it's time. He knows it's time for his son to come home. I think that would be awesome.
I'd love to see that. I think it'd be great.
Awesome. Well, and do the whole, it's like a space series based off an old 80s, you know, show. I mean, a movie.
You know, we did get Blade Runner. We got a Blade Runner sequel after 30 years. Blade Runner 2049 came out last fall, which I thought was brilliant. did a terrific job on that. We
fantastic.
A little while back, further back, we got the finally got the Tron sequel, which was Tron Legacy, which I also really enjoyed. Now, I don't think either Blade Runner or Tron, in the case of Blade Runner, it was critically, it got great reviews, critically acclaimed, but it followed in the footsteps of its predecessor, in that it was not the success of the box office that they were hoping it to be.
Right.
So, all right, we got the third trailer now for Cobra Kai, the final one that's been shown here recently. On
guy thinks he can bring Cobra Kai back to the valley? Not on my watch.
I'm gonna back up.
Guy thinks he can bring.
There's a girl. There's a woman. He's pouring some wine at the beginning of the trailer. Danielson's talking. They're in a house that has kind of an archway doorway in the background, and it has sort of an enclosed porch. There's a woman he's talking to. And I'm looking at I'm going to widen this shot. You can't see this video, obviously, Matt, because you're in Phoenix.
Right.
I'm widening this. I may have already found some Easter egg here from this show. This is real interesting. I noticed his hands. Danielson's hands and the woman's hands he's talking to. I don't see a ring on either one of their fingers. Which indicates to me, now let me go back here. I'm going to go back and look at it. You'll have to go back and watch this trailer later and kind of freeze frame it yourself, but I'm doing this myself right now.
I am watching it as well with you.
Okay, if you want to pull it up. Now, it's hard to see his other hand, which would actually be the left hand where he would be wearing his wedding band.
Right.
But from what I can tell, and the YouTube bar is at the bottom, so it's kind of blocking the hand a little bit. Let me see if I can get rid of that. Actually, I'll put that in. There's a setting where I think you can lose the bar on YouTube. I just can't seem to figure that out right now while I'm playing this trailer. But anyway, I'm looking at his hand. I don't see a ring. I still don't see the ring on the other finger that's holding the wine glass. Now, the woman he's talking to, there's definitely clearly no rings on either finger. So what this indicates to me is that possibly he's divorced. The character,
yeah,
Danielson.
That is a possibility.
Now, this is of course, I'm reaching a little bit, trying to find a little bit. Now, the woman, I don't recognize her as being any of the girlfriends he had in any of the three.
I don't believe it would be. It may be just someone new.
And like you said, it doesn't necessarily mean that this woman is supposed to be his spouse or a girlfriend. It's just a woman he's talking to. He could be... another mom that had some kids that went to the same school that his daughter went to. Could be this neighbor. Any number of things. Now, the one interesting thing is if you make Danielson single on this show, then there's that element of where you could have him dating and the conflict that creates for the show that could be kind of interesting. If Johnny's also single and divorced, they might start competing for the same woman in this episode, in this TV series. Which could also add, you were talking about ways that maybe the rivalry was rebooted. Maybe it was repeating the same crime. Maybe they're both falling. They both fell for the same woman. Not Elizabeth Shue this time, but somebody else.
That is a possibility as well.
What if Danielson has had to resort to Tinder or eHarmony to get back into the dating scene after being divorced?
What would he say?
Yeah, what would his bio say? And then what if Johnny is on the same Tinder app and the woman is swiping? And she swipes right for one and swipes left for the other. And we see that on camera. Now, I do think one thing's going to happen. I think there's going to be a rivalry here. I hope it's sort of a friendly rivalry. But what I think's going to happen is I think that at some point, if the show goes on long enough, I think they're going to team up against a greater force of evil. I think we're going to get to see. I think we're going to get to see Johnny and Danielson team up against some force of evil.
Okay.
I don't know who that would be. I don't know. It's a good question.
Well, you still have his old sensei.
Yeah.
I can't remember the actual character's name in it, but John something, wasn't it? John McClane. But you know, he was John something.
Yeah, he's still around. The actor you're talking about, the original Sensei.
No, he's still around.
So
he could play him. He could play the villain.
He could play the villain. So that could be something that could be brought in. Could be something completely different that could be introduced into the storyline. So it's interesting. You do have the villain also from the original Karate Kid Part 2 from Okinawa.
Yeah.
Which was the kid.
You have go ahead. There's a lot of options.
There's the kid he fought in the second Karate Kid. And that was one where they really didn't leave on good terms, if I remember correctly. Unlike Johnny and Danielson.
I think he left on good terms with all of them, because in the second movie, she went off to join a dance company because she always wanted to be a dancer, a geisha dancer.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they are. And then the third one, she just went back to her old boyfriend, which I thought was very unique. I was like, holy cow.
You know the story behind that? I don't know if I told you this on the last time we talked Karate Kid. I read the actress, and I don't know her name, but she's also still around, and she's still acting in some shows from time to time. The actress at the time, it was actually some stuff that was going on behind the scenes, why they wrote the character that way. She was, when they cast her, I don't know how this slipped through the cracks, but she was actually underage. She was a minor. And Dan,
who was?
The actress that played the leading girl in Karate Kid 3.
Really?
Yeah. They cast her. They didn't realize. I don't know if it was an oversight or what happened, but they didn't realize she was a minor. So when they cast her, instead of just recasting the part, they decided to write in the show that she would not be. She ended up not being a romantic interest to Danielson. She ended up just being someone that he went out one time with. They became friends, and they ended up kind of going their separate ways. They didn't. If you look at that, if you go back and watch that movie again, there's no kissing scenes. There's no making out or anything of that nature. Because
I did not know that.
Because Ralph Macchio at that point in time is already well into his 20s. And,
correct.
And so the girl, a minor, they didn't want to have them doing any kissing or anything.
Right.
Yeah, it was because of that, for that reason. So
even though he was playing a kid in college,
right.
She could have been playing a kid in college, but yeah, I get it. I did not know that. That's interesting.
And she was, I think she might have been only a year or two off from being legal age, but that was the reason they wrote the character that way, was because once they figured out she was a minor, now that's one of the things where, why didn't they ask her that when she came in for the casting call? How old are you? I auditioned when I was out on the Pound on the Pavement on the acting circuit back in the 90s, late 90s. I auditioned for Varsity Blues.
Oh.
Almost made it in the movie. It was a casting director that had already cast me before. They really liked me. I had taken their acting workshops. They had already cast me in the past for America's Most Wanted. They cast me to be in a reenactment for America's Most Wanted, the John Walsh-led show on Fox that was very popular at the time. I was cast to be on that show on national TV, and that casting director really liked me. So I got called in by my agent to audition for Varsity Blues, and she said, it's Barbara Brinkley casting it, and she loves you. And so I went in. Now, the casting director had an assistant. The assistant was a hard ass. Barbara was a sweetheart. Uh-huh. Sweetheart, she loved me. Now, at the time, I was already well into my 20s, much like Ralph Macchio, but I looked really young for my age, so I was getting called in for a lot of young parts, like high school parts. I almost made it on Walker, Texas Ranger. I went up, drove all the way up to Dallas to audition for this part, went in and read for the part, absolutely nailed it. The casting director asked me, but how old are you? And I was too honest. I told her my age. It wasn't until much later that I learned that as an actor, you answer that question by saying, how old do you need me to be?
Yeah.
But I was too honest. I said, well, I'm this old. And when I told them that, they were like, oh, yeah, you're too old for this part. But it wasn't until I told them. They would have thought and considered me for the part until I actually told them my age. So,
and you know,
at the time we saw people on television, you know, Luke Perry on 90210 was 30 years old playing a high school guy on television. Ralph Macchio was almost, I think he was in his late 20s when he made Karate Kid Part
3. Oh, yeah, he was way older.
Yeah, so, and he looks, still looks young for his age. So it's amazing that even back then, he looked young for his age. So I was, you know, there were some parts I could, but I almost got made it into Varsity Blues, but they had me come in, they immediately asked me my age, and they, or was the assistant to the casting director. The casting director was like, oh, yeah, Stephen Pressley, great to see you. It's like, what part are you reading for? And then the assistant kind of comes in and says, wait a minute, how old are you? And then I was honest. I told him, and then they said, sorry, we'll look around. If we have another part for you, we'll bring you in later. And why are they trying to be so specific when one of the most iconic roles in movie history was played by somebody that was almost 30 years old playing a high school kid?
Boo.
So maybe that's what I should have answered. That's how I should have answered the question at the time. But yeah. I was kind of just happy to be there and be getting, you know, the chance to, well, not read for the part. But anyway, that's me venting. So anyway, yeah. So the third trailer, I don't see a wedding ring. What do you think? Did you look at the freeze frame?
You know what? I never looked at it like that. But you are correct. There is no wedding ring. Very observant of you there. It's one of those things where, you know, either he's divorced or he's widowed. I like the idea that he's widowed.
That could be something. Because
I'm tired of our, you know, our big, you know, our, what's the word? I'm tired of our heroes being trounced down to be like, oh, yeah, they're really nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What? They screwed up their life, you know. It doesn't look like Daniel screwed up his life. Like you said, he dresses real nice. Obviously, it's Johnny who's, you know, hard on the street, you know, living a harder life, life's been more unkind. But don't tell me that he's going through divorce or something like that. I've seen too many divorces on there.
Right, right. Of course, his mom was a single parent as well, so wouldn't be too outlandish to have him be a single parent like his mom, following in the footsteps of his mom. Okay, let's continue on here. In this
guy thinks he can bring Cobra Kai back to the Valley?
Not on my watch.
When the fight comes to you, you have to be ready to fight back.
I love the terrified look as Danielson's sitting in the car, like as he's seeing the Cobra Kai sign put up for the first time. Now, this is great. We get a revival, a throwback to the Halloween costume party at the school.
Yes.
And we see the skeleton. that's the sort of thing that touches in paying homage to the original movies. That we were hoping for.
Now, that was eye candy for people like you and me to go, ooh.
Oh, they're bringing that back.
Yeah, they don't have to bring back the skeleton thing. But the whole you see Daniel's face is like, oh, man, it's happening again.
Yeah.
You know, these guys.
This is back to some of the most traumatic moments of his childhood. When he first moved to Los Angeles with his mom and had all this drama.
And it's nice to have some of those callbacks.
Yeah.
I don't want the whole thing to be nostalgia filled with,
right,
you know, they run him off the street on his bike, or it starts, you know, his daughter's on the beach, or, you know, something like that. I don't want too many similarities. Give me a few
here and
then
there.
Move on. But give me new. New is good. Different is good. You got the same characters. That's really all I need. And you got the throwback to that, to the skeleton outfit. Very cool. It's about Cobra Kai rising again. And I love what Johnny's saying. I love what Daniel's saying, hey, look, Johnny, do you know what are you doing? Do you know what you're doing here? Mm-hmm. Do you realize what's going on? I love that. It's like, what are you doing? We hated this company. Mm-hmm. We hated Cobra Kai.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny.
You're better.
And then, you know, if this show were to continue on and make it a 3, 4, 5 season, which I hope it does. They're going to have to, eventually, they'll have to branch out more and go into some new, like you were saying, new stuff.
Agreed.
More new stuff.
But there is a lot to go on, because you got it looks like we're going to see tournaments again, which I love. The tournament board looks the same.
Right.
Even though it's very unrealistic that they would keep the same design from the 80s. But I love it because, I just do. I love the geese that we're going to see some fights. And who knows? You can do this season after season. Like, there's different classes.
Yeah.
Keep, you know, and different. This rivalry can go on, like you said, for at least, I would say, about 4 seasons before they had to wrap it up, before it started getting old and repetitive. But depending on where they're going, you're correct. The story could go 7 seasons. I mean, obviously, it's how popular it and what business it brings into YouTube is really going to decide.
Yeah.
But if you could actually keep this rivalry going, and you could develop new characters that will be fun to watch. I hope some old Cobra Kai actors come back. You know, where's the rest of his team now? Some of them may get in shape and come back and be with Johnny for one episode, you know.
Maybe even bring the ponytail guy back from Karate Kid 3.
Is it? That's one thing that's never going to happen, but I wish it could. Same ponytail. Maybe
that guy actually looks quite a bit different now. I looked him up to see what he was looking like, what he looked like today. He looks quite a bit different.
What about his mom? Do you think they'd bring her back?
I think she's probably passed away.
Oh, has she now?
No, okay. I'm just going, that's my hunch.
Okay.
Now, the actress that played his mom in the original show, I don't know if she's still alive. I couldn't say for sure. I'd have to look that up. If she's still alive, yeah, they certainly could have her back too. My thought is that maybe she's passed on. I know she moved at some point because she wasn't in Karate Kid 3. She left the town.
Right, she left the series.
Yeah. They write her off somehow where she goes off to travel to help with some family situations somewhere, I think.
Who was she? She was Randy Heller. Is that her name?
Yes.
Yes, that is her. Is she still alive? Yes, she is. Not dead. Actually looks really good for an older lady, too.
Well, they may bring her back.
Oh, I'd love to see her. Oh, she is in the third one, isn't she? She's on the phone.
No,
that was the second one. That was the second one.
Okay.
You're right.
So by three, that she's gone by three.
No, they skipped her for... Oh, it doesn't make sense. They skipped her for two. She's in three. That scene where she's on the phone, she's in three.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So she does come up briefly in three.
I'm over the phone. It's like the... What I call it? I call it the Three's Company shot.
Yeah.
You know, when Suzanne Summers had to leave the show, but they always had her there on the phone, but the cast didn't want to deal with her. Yeah. So that's why she's on the separate set.
Uh-huh.
They just said, well, we'll throw her in there.
That's funny. Yeah, that's what they did with Suzanne Summers. That's why she was always on the phone by herself, because the other cast members didn't have to deal with her. She got a reputation for being hard to work with, didn't she?
Could bring back some of the other people too that they had for this show.
Yeah, there's definitely some other characters there that they could have return for sure. I think the one that we most want to see in some capacity is the old sensei.
John Kreese is his name.
John Kreese.
His last name.
Yeah,
Kreese and Martin, played by Martin Cove. But
I think seeing John Kreese back would be great.
He's a character that I would love to see back, and he would be a nice villain, and you know he's still around.
Yeah. Now, he really did not resolve his situation with Danielson. He was still out to get Danielson.
There's still bad blood out there, I agree.
Yeah, he was still out to get Danielson, because he came back, he resurfaces in Karate Kid 3, and then he commissions that guy, the martial arts master, to try to exact some kind of plan and revenge against Danielson and Mr. Miyagi. Okay, here's more from Trailer 3.
Cobra Kai will never change.
So we see we see Danielson do this karate kick in the car dealership where he kicks the water out of somebody's hand. I don't even know who that was. Somebody's holding a Starbucks cup or something with a straw. And then we see this shot of Danielson.
Slaps it out of his hand.
He slaps it out of his hand. Let's go back and look at this. Yeah, now that's just a random guy. I look at that now as to see if that was anybody we would recognize. And that appears to just be a car salesman or somebody there in the car.
So do you think, now that I'm thinking about this, because that's not the only scene we saw in the car lot. Do you think Daniel owns the car lot?
Yeah,
that's what he's done with his riches.
We're led to believe that he's successful and that Johnny's the one that's down and out.
So maybe he owns the car lot, and that's how he's made all his money. And that's him joking around with, you know, maybe one of his employees.
Yeah.
And he's having a good time, and Johnny's down on his luck and is looking for a job. And then maybe, it doesn't work out between them or something like that.
I see what you're, yes. It's very interesting.
Ooh,
it's
look
very
at these
good.
Possibilities.
Yeah, and then, you know, you could have some fun other supporting characters there by having the car dealership as part of his, you know, that he owns a car dealership. If you have a few of characters in there that might be supporting characters of friends of Danielson that are also his employees, that maybe are a couple of car salesmen that are kind of funny and quick-witted.
Exactly.
That could be a lot of fun,
too. Interesting.
That could be a lot of fun, too. Let's see, let's look at some more here.
Oh, this is the guy whose ass you kicked.
If you want to get technical, I kicked his face.
Yeah, I think Danielson either manages or owns the car dealership. That's what
I think that's looking like. Yeah. Definite possibility there.
There it is. That was trailer 3. YouTube Red original series. YouTube got into a bidding war with Netflix, Hulu, Amazon for this show. And they outbid everyone. I don't know that it was if the amount was ever disclosed, how much they actually paid to get this show. Now, this was an idea that was spawned by William Zabka, a.k.a. Johnny, and Ralph Macchio, a.k.a. Danielson. They got together and collaborated to put this concept together, which is pretty amazing. Mm. Now, here's what's funny. Reed Charles, our good friend Reed Charles.
Feed the Reed.
Told me because he saw that William Zabka and Ralph Macchio at one of the conventions a few years ago down in South Texas when he was down there collecting comic books, and they had a booth set up, and you can Google it. If you look it up, you can find a lot of pictures where they've done the rounds together. They've been doing shows together for a long time, so they've kept their friendship outside of Karate Kid has stayed pretty strong, and they've continued to tour together doing these shows, and they set up booths next to each other, and people take pictures because you have a chance to take a photo with Johnny and Danielson from Karate Kid at the same time. Well, Reed, being Reed,
feed the Reed,
saw William Zabka, and he recognized him as Johnny from Karate Kid, and he sees him, and he says, "Oh," he says, "Aren't you the guy that got your ass kicked in Karate Kid?" And then. And says, "You're Johnny, right?" And then William Zabka, he said, was pretty much Johnny. That's who he is, basically. Because he snaps back at him and says, "Yeah, that was me." What, you know, like he kind of gave him kind of a reaction of sort of a very Johnny reaction. Like, you know, "You're busting my balls, dude. You know, what the hell? Yeah. What do you think? You think it's me?" You know, kind of that kind of reaction. Which I thought was very funny. So Reed was like,
"That's funny," because I wonder now that they put that joke in there, if that was because he gets that from a lot of fans and they decided to write it into the. I'm wondering
that's
if he gets that question a lot, and maybe that's a wink to the fans that keep asking him that.
That's funny. It's interesting because you know that's come up. Reed wasn't original. That's something that's come up quite a bit at those shows. When they run into fans and ask them that question before.
Exactly.
You know, that's very interesting that they may have gotten some material from that, from just interaction with the fans. There may be some other things in there, too, that in the show that they may have included as well.
I'm super excited, though. Super excited.
I can't wait. Now, I don't know if we have a release date on this yet. That's one thing about streaming. Streaming is just very random. They just put it up when it's ready.
Yeah.
Netflix does that.
That's true. I don't know of a. I haven't heard of one. I don't think I have yet. And they don't have the release date on the trailers either.
I'm guessing, and I like that. I like that we'll put it out when it's ready. We won't rush it out like they do with movies in the theater. We won't just put it out because we have a date set. It has to be ready by that date. Even if it's not ready, we're going to put it out. You know, if there's a way to make this a better show before it comes out. We'll just put it out when it's ready. My guess is they'll have this out before sometime over the course of the summer.
I'm assuming so, especially as they keep continuing to put up these trailers. It's got to be coming soon.
Because I always
don't
felt
put the trailer out and then yeah. Go ahead.
Well, typically, yeah. Traditionally, Karate Kid was always released in the summer. The movies.
Oh, that's true. So this could be a summer release or TV show. I like that.
Yeah, so we would stick with the pattern that they had kept always with the movie series was to drop it sometime during the summer. Now, I wonder if they're going to do like Netflix, where they're going to put all 10 episodes up simultaneously, or if they're going to trickle them out one. I'm guessing they're going to put them all out together.
I would think so. That seems to be the going thing with streaming shows.
For a binge watch.
I enjoy it, but I didn't. I was surprised when Netflix set the tone and said, okay, we're going to release everything out on the same day. I was like, really? But now I think they set the, because they could have just done it, you know, as a weekly one release every week. But I said, you know, they said, well, we people like binge watching. And so that's become the thing with digital. And that's the one advantage they have over regular TV shows now, is because now you can binge all of them right then and there. Now, the other thing, I don't know how many, do we know how many episodes Cobra Kai is going to be?
10 episodes. Season? And they're going to be around half an hour each. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, I can't wait. Another thing I can't wait for is our thunder take for this episode. And Matt Wilkins, I would like you to give us your thunder take. I've got a question for you. Now, as you know, Matt Wilkins, you can find him on YouTube, the Expanded Universe channel, also Board Games, correct?
Yeah, Board Games. Show.
He does another show about board games on YouTube. Love and those can all be found just under Matt Wilkins, correct?
Right, just under my name. I did, when I made the YouTube channel, it wasn't to be flashy. It was just me goofing off on the YouTubes, and then it turned into something serious. But yeah, just Matt Wilkins.
Yeah, and you have the you do the Expanding Universe, and that's when we had you originally on the show, was talking about the Legends, the Star Wars comic books. And I mentioned to you before we started recording that I have an idea for to get you back to talk about that again soon. But yeah, you can find Matt Wilkins at YouTube. He does his board game show, and he also does, you do live Q&A sometimes, correct?
Live do Q&A sometimes as well. Every month I try to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so catch him on there. It's great content. If you love Star Wars, you love board games, if you love original Expanded Universe Legends Star Wars and board games, check out Matt Wilkins on YouTube. Or if you just want to look for something to do, you're just wait because you wait while you're waiting for that Cobra Kai to get show up on your YouTube Red channel.
There you go.
And while you're sitting there in front of the screen waiting for it to get posted, you can be there watching Matt Wilkins until that notification.
Or if you want to feel better about your life, check out my channel and see how pathetic it is, and it'll make you feel better.
There you go. There you go. Now, it's a wonderful life, Matt Wilkins. It's a wonderful
life. I'm telling you.
Now, thunder take for you, speaking of Star Wars and Legends.
Yes.
Now, you know, I know, since you, even though you do not watch new Star Wars movies, for the very reason that, because you're loyal to the original Legends Expanded Universe Star Wars.
Correct. And I have no interest.
Yeah, you don't.
I have no interest in the new stuff.
All. No curiosity, no interest at all.
I'm fine with other people watching it. Totally fine with other people watching it. It's just not for me.
But I'm sure you do get tidbits of news about stuff that people are saying about the new films, because it's hard to navigate and not get into that mess from time to time.
No, people know I'm a Star Wars guy, so they'll talk to me about it. So
So you'll hear people rant or rave one way or the other, and a lot of both, actually. So here's the thing. There was a lot, you know, Last Jedi was probably the most divisive movie in the history of movies. This is not overstating the degree that people were divided on that film. So a lot of people were discontent about the outcome of Last Jedi. It was a highly anticipated film. It was going to be bringing Luke Skywalker back to the big screen for the first time. But here's my question. Now, toy sales have gone down for Star Wars. They've dropped considerably. Okay? And some people have said that might have a lot to do with disappointment over The Last Jedi. My question for you is if there's a continued decline in the toy sales for Star Wars, and also another thing of note for Last Jedi, it had the biggest drop from the first week to the second week of any recent Star Wars film. Okay? So with that being said, if there are some warning signs and this is a continued diminishment, will there be a budge from Disney for the Legends if the fan base continues to grow more weary?
Okay. As the fan base continues to grow, And the episode nine comes
out. Grow weary.
Grow weary, yeah. Well, as fans grow weary of the new movies, episode nine will finish. Does it land on a dud or does it go out with a bang? Who knows? I think it's going to be very decisive. And I don't think it's going to make as much as Last Jedi did, because Last Jedi turned a lot of people off. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking EU fans. We're talking, you know, just regular Star Wars or regular movie-going fans really didn't like that. It was 50-50 down the...
It was totally 50-50.
Yeah, in the reviews. So, and then people like it. In fact, in my class I teach, I'm a trainer at work, I asked them, as an icebreaker, what's the worst movie you've ever seen? And a girl said Last Jedi. It was awful.
Wow.
And she said that movie was a waste of my time.
Wow. So, and nobody would ever nobody would have ever said that about Empire Strikes Back, even if they were just sort of a mild Star Wars fan like my mom, who just mildly was into it.
Right.
She loved those films, though. She enjoyed
them. It's fantastic. And it's one of the things that, trying to stay on topic here. The thing is, when I hear this and I see what 9 may be, what they're going to do with this, they're going to try to appease both sides of the fan. It's not work. It may be a disaster. It may save it. You know, J.J. Abrams may do something to save it, make it fine for everyone. So if the EU movement continues to grow, these movies continue to be so-so, then what's going to happen is fans are going to, Lucasfilm is going to sit back and say, okay, this is kind of a disaster. We've kind of, you know, pissed off a few fans. These EU people will not quit. They're still around, and they just keep growing as a fan base. Let's go ahead, and what's it going to hurt to go ahead and give them some more stories from that universe? But here's the thing. They keep saying, like, oh, no, let us finish 7 through 9. And so after episodes 7 through 9, they would be able to continue on with legend stories to say, okay, they're still around. Because what they thought was going to happen, the Legends, you know, fan base was supposed to disappear 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. After the new movie Force Awakens came out, they were expecting EU fans to say, oh, okay, never mind, and get quiet. But they haven't. They've grown.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things Lucasfilm's going, dang, are they still here after three friggin' movies?
Yeah.
And if they're still, and if we're still around and we're still making our voice heard, then I'm not saying we're going to get a TV show. We're not even going to get a movie. And I don't want that. Just give us more stories of the old classic storyline that we all loved, and more Star Wars is better for everyone. And maybe they should start trying to, in fact, if they start losing their fan base, they're definitely going to try to appeal to more. And if they see a bunch of people who are hungry to spend money on stories about a universe, a canon that doesn't exist to them anymore, they will gladly do it. And to be honest, the EU would be actually bigger and bolder than ever, because they wouldn't have the movies tying them down now. They can ignore all the events of the new movies and make their own storyline. And I think that would give them more creativity to do awesome things with characters like Luke, Han, and Leia, which were way off limits prior to being bought out by Disney. And so I think you'd even see a better storyline than you have before. Because I think the folks at Del Rey would make an excellent story for the Legends universe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stories there that could be told.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah,
a lot of stories that could be told there. So there's a lot of potential for that, and I hope to see that. And like you said, as long as we keep growing and letting our voice be heard, they can't ignore us. They're shocked we're still around.
Now here's another thing that can't be ignored or done away with. The first question of my agree or disagree for you, Matt Wilkins.
Ooh.
Atari. Another reboot, another comeback, this time in the video game world. Did you have an Atari set when you were a kid?
You know what? We were too poor to have the Atari. We bought the poor man's Atari, which was called Intellivision back in the day.
I remember Intellivision. I'll one-up you. We had the even poorer version. We had Odyssey. Do you remember Odyssey?
Wow.
Now, I'll tell you the story. We didn't even pay for our Odyssey game system. We went to one of those things where you do it. My parents were so nice to put up with this so we could get a game system. We weren't really poor, but my parents were very frugal. And they just weren't about throwing a bunch of money on a video game system for us. So now later we did get a Sega and we had some NBA jams, but we went to one of those things where you agree to do a tour of a resort. And if you do the tour, you know, to like they're trying to get people to buy into a timeshare. So you go and you do this tour of this resort and then you get a prize or you get a gift if you do it. You might get a free television or a free game system. So I remember doing this twice when I was a kid. And one of the times we did was for the game system. We got this random game system. It was called Odyssey, and it came with a couple of games. It was our first video game system.
Huh.
Now,
you're the first person I know who's owned one of those.
Now, the Intellivision, now that was, I remember, and they had, I did love their TV commercials. They had some great commercials.
Well, they did. They did that. But, and I love the Intellivision. And Atari was the big thing in town. Everyone wanted Atari. Right. We played Atari too. We loved Atari. Can they come back? Or are you asking me, should they come back?
Well, you know they're coming back. But here's my question for you. We know they're coming back. Whether it's good or bad, we don't know. But here's the question. They were supposed to... Okay, so they're going to be coming back with a retro-looking console. It was supposed to be up for pre-order as far back as December. And then they pulled the plug on it, okay? So fans were disappointed. Atari said they wanted to make sure they created a platform and ecosystem for the Atari community that it well deserved. They wanted to do it justice. We were talking about waiting to release something when it's ready and not just releasing it just to meet a deadline. But here's my question. Now with that being put off and they're talking about that it will probably be sometime in the next 3 months they're going to be doing pre-orders, does that sound like a red flag that maybe this is going to be a bust, that maybe they're disorganized and are not, they don't have things well planned?
Well, you know what? I think it's one of these things where they have to be.
I guess I should say, do you agree or disagree with that? I guess I should say.
Oh, do I agree? It's a red flag.
Yeah.
No, I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. I don't think it's a red flag. I think it's being cautious, and them just trying to test out the market because right now it is dominated in an Xbox, PlayStation.
Yeah.
Even Nintendo is having, they're a third-party player in the world of video games
Absolutely.
Right now. And that's
Absolutely.
Wild to think about. So it's for a fourth-party candidate to get in there, even though Atari bears the old name, they really have to deliver something special, and they don't have anything special to deliver. I mean, even their most epic game has got to be something groundbreaking. And in video games, not to say we can't have groundbreaking things,
right.
But to say that Atari is going to hire the biggest and brightest minds, no, they're with PlayStation and Xbox right now.
Yeah.
And whatever's left's over at Nintendo. So I I'll cheer for them. I cheer for them. Will I get one? Probably not. But, you know, my hat's off to them for trying. And I think that's just cautious. I don't think that's a red herring at all.
Yeah. They look cool. Have you seen pictures of them? Have you looked them up yet?
I have not yet.
Now, I understand they're going to make the original retro games available for this system. You're going to be able to play them on this system. So that's pretty exciting.
That's good.
Yeah. I think that's a big key to the early success of it. Okay, number two, the film Black Panther just surpassed, speaking of Star Wars, it just surpassed Star Wars 7 and 8 as the most tweeted about movie of all time. Now that's hilarious. Would you agree that that's even a thing now? Would you agree that this is another sign of failure on the part of Kathleen Kennedy and Lucasfilm for not delivering a 100% home run in the eyes of the fans? Agree or disagree?
Oh, totally agree. I don't even know how she has a job. I honestly don't. The way she has butchered movies, you look at the disaster Solo is turning out to be, and even Disney's walking away from this movie. I mean, they're not even harping up Solo.
Wow.
And
if that film's a bust, I predict she's done.
Well, you know what? Solo will not be a bust. It'll make money, but people will rip it apart probably. But here's the deal, though. She's already in trouble. How does she keep her job? Bob Iger, I think, is obviously, you know, you love him or hate him, the man's a smart businessman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's brought so many big franchises under the tent pole of Disney and quadrupled Disney's value. in the matter of years by making the Marvel films what they were and then grabbing Lucasfilm. The man's done some great stuff. There's a reason why Disney refuses to have him retire. He signed a second extension this year.
Right.
The man wants to retire, but Disney won't let him because there's still blockbuster deals out there to get. I mean, what did he just get?
20th Century Fox.
He got 20th Century Fox. I mean, so there's, honestly, how many pellets can this Pac-Man gobble up?
Right.
I mean, the guy's a genius.
Speaking of Atari.
And people may be shocked that I'm talking good about Bob Iger. And so let's look at Kathleen Kennedy, a complete failure. These Star Wars movies are supposed to be, you know, the biggest thing ever. She makes the most derisive. It's obviously that Lucasfilm's house is in disarray. Rian Johnson even admitted when he was given Episode 8, he said, okay, what's the story? There is no story. You make it up on your own. Wait, what? So, man, JJ just wrote mysteries like he does. He likes to write open-ended mysteries, and then he doesn't know how to finish them. JJ has no idea how to end a movie, hence Super 8. Super 8, fantastic movie. Awful ending. Terrible ending. JJ didn't know how to end it. Everything he writes, he doesn't know how to end. So he didn't know how to end Episode 7, but good news. He didn't have to end Episode 7. He just gave it off to Rian Johnson, completely dropped the ball, and both those movies look completely different, according to other reviews. The movies look completely different.
Right.
And she is... But then look at all the firings that she's done of the directors. Has the power to fire a director if he's not happy with how his screenplay is being read. Mm-hmm. Are you serious? You gave Lawrence Kasdan ultimate authority over what director wants to get into a movie where the writer can have him fired? No director wants to do that.
No, that's not a good.
Why is JJ coming back for episodes 9 when he said he's not, you know, originally he said, no, I'm only doing 7. I'm not doing anything else for him. But he came back and did 9. Why do they have to use these old-time directors? Because the new guys don't want to go there. Lucasfilms are getting a bad name in the director's world.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to Lucasfilm because it's not your vision they care about. They say they care about your vision. No, they care about their vision and what they want to make.
Now, I do have confidence in Ron Howard, though, that he can write a ship.
Yes, but that is with films he got behind. Remember, he was brought in 12... you know, at the 13th hour save this film.
Yeah, true, very true.
So, and yes, he did reshoot a lot of stuff, and yes, he's probably going to try his best. I agree with that. I like Ron Howard. But the thing is, though, this is not a passion project for him. If he wanted to do Solo, he could have got this. He could do episode... This is a guy who should be doing episode 9 for crying out loud.
He absolutely should have been doing from the get-go. They should have gotten someone like a Spielberg or Ron Howard.
But the thing is, though, they didn't. So I think it's not a complete dumpster fire. Oh, no, it is. She's pitching Solo over in China, which the movie bombs in China, by the way.
They keep trying. That's a dead horse they keep trying to beat.
Now they're taking Star Wars out of the title, and they're going to call it Ranger Solo because they're going to try to trick people in Asia to come over and watch the movie by dropping the name Star Wars and just saying Ranger Solo, trying to deceive people. That's your strategy for selling it to the East?
Wow.
Why hasn't Iger, who looks to be a genius, why is he letting this lady take the golden goose and give him lead eggs out of it? It's silver eggs coming out of the golden goose when it should be platinum. You know, triple platinum it should be. There's no sense why Iger should keep her in charge. Except that he said that was part of the agreement that she would stay in charge till episode 9. I wouldn't be surprised if that's in her contract that Iger can't fire because of the agreement with Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
Iger can't fire Kathleen Kennedy until, you know, 6 years or whatever.
Now, here's something. They've been trying to make Star Wars a thing in China for a long time, and they've continued to fail in China.
Fail.
And that was because when the original came out, it didn't go to China right away. So they didn't have that start. They didn't have the same starting point as the rest of the world. But if they want to make Star Wars work in China, I think the one way they might be able to do it, because it hasn't worked any other way they've tried, is maybe creating an animated series that is a Star Wars anime mashup. And we just lost Matt. His internet went down at the hotel he's staying at in Phoenix. I just got a message from him. We decided to go ahead and cut the agree or disagree there, and I would go right into thoughts and advice. And thoughts and advice today comes straight from the Cobra Kai.
Does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, sensei!
Fear does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, sensei! practicing very, very bad.
And there you go from the Cobra Kai, thoughts and advice for your asses. Everyone have a great day, hour, month, second. Did I say day? Yeah, day, month, hour, millisecond, and then now. Peace.
I lied.
Thunderpop, 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 oh, Thunderpop.
So long, see you later. Beat it, hit the bricks, hit the bricks.
And Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.